This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Oh my God. 273 yards against the Lions?
Oh, that's good stuff, those meme makers. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, which means you might think it's time for a Friday Roundtable extravaganza, except I'm doing something a little bit different today. I am having one guest, my co-host for the first time today, Aaron Wexler, known as Non-Lib Take on the Instagram and the TikTok. Aaron, how are you?
Dave, I'm great, and it's fun. I'm here without having to buy you dinner, so it's a treat for me, and a great way to close out the week.
You know what? If you nail this thing without falling out of your chair, I will buy you dinner. What do you think of that?
That's perfect.
You had quite a week before we get into anything else. We're going to recap, obviously, the week in racism and dead murderers and some of the other things that happened. But you had quite a week because some of your videos, which have been really hot online, were getting stolen by some rather influential creators, and you're fighting back and making a little name for yourself out there on the internet.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was time to speak up about some of that theft that you just mentioned. So I did privately reach out to somebody who was directly lifting my content, definitely breaching copyright law, and doing that with a lot of other creators. And so I saw my videos that were being used to look like this man was actually the one producing the videos. And I found out, because friends of mine were sending me links thinking that exposure is a good thing. For people who don't know, when you're a content creator, the way you really get paid is by monetizing on YouTube, monetizing on Instagram and other places. And the algorithms really favor people when you're the original poster. So when someone takes your video from one platform like mine on Instagram, and then they decide to post it somewhere like YouTube before you do, they're going to get all the money from that. And so, you know, I don't get to pay my landlord an exposure. And so I decided to reach out to the person who was posting this. And it's far from the first time they've done this to me. They've done this to many other people. And so I reached out privately hoping to resolve it there. And I just asked them to delete the video and to not use my videos in that manner. They refused to take it down. And they offered to just tag me in the video many hours later. And anyone who has any sense of how social media works understands that you're not going to get followers from someone adding a tag to a video hours after it's already kind of hit that peak visibility and peak momentum. And so I said, no, please take it down. And they refused. And so I decided to go to the public square that is Twitter, and people reacted well to it. And eventually it was taken down. I was told they would never use my videos again. But to me, that's the battle, not the war. And I think what's really important for people in the space, and I know, Dave, that you know this because you've always tagged me and anybody else that you reference, whether it's a tweet or video. But this is it's a new frontier, I think, for social media and for reporting, where a lot of people are producing content and then it just gets lifted and shared without any credit to the original creator. And I'm hoping that what happened this week will really change the conversation and change the practices across the industry.
On that note, where can people find you? I normally do this at the end, but we've played a couple of your videos, and yeah, I have no problem crediting you because you're doing good stuff, which is why you're on the show today. But where can the people find you? And you know what? We'll put a link in the description. Can someone
do that?
Do we have someone on a computer here? Okay.
I appreciate that. People could find me on Instagram at nonlibtake. You could also find me on YouTube at Aaron Wexler. I know those are different handles, I'm sure.
Yeah, we got to fix that.
In case anyone that doesn't, it's not clear. I don't have a marketing team working for me.
All right, you're a little new to the game. We'll fix all that. Don't worry about that stuff. One last thing before we get to it. You said you can't pay your landlord in exposure, but I'm pretty sure you probably could.
No, I definitely cannot. My landlord definitely, although they did get a taste of my politics fairly recently. I had to move out for a couple of days for them to fix something in the apartment, and they moved a bunch of boxes around. And my landlord did come to me a few days later saying, "We think this box is yours." And it was a box of 1,000 rounds of ammo.
Nice.
And they were so shocked, and they're not from the United States. They're a international landlord. And I said, Welcome to America. So they got a little flavor of me.
And you are now on a list. All right, let's dive in. This is a Rubin Report episode with a co-host for the first time, but we can't jump that too far from what we normally do. So yes, we've got a clip from The View, and Whoopi Goldberg has lost her frickin' mind.
Take a look at the things that they're rolling back. Mm. Remember I said ages ago, you know, they, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back. They're okay with it because, you see, things change. You know, one of the good things about the Supreme Court is you can fight to make sure you make stuff better. Mm-hmm. You don't generally fight to make stuff worse.
or to roll back.
And yeah. To me, if you're okay rolling that back, when things were not even a state, when we had no say,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how's that going to roll? How's that going to roll? What's the next thing? Because, you know, on this, with all of this comes birth control.
I can't hear.
These days, but I have yet to have been to a conservative event where I heard anyone talking about bringing back slavery. Now, you're more of a conservative. Is there something I'm missing here? Are there other meetings? What's happening here?
Oh, Dave, you just haven't been invited to the right meetings, actually. You know, this was something that the left was warning about. Remember, if you vote for Mitt Romney, he's going to put black people back in chains. That, you know, if you don't vote for Biden, you ain't black. I mean, it's like the same thing every single election cycle. To me, it's also pretty rich when someone like Whoopi Goldberg decides to talk about things when she is a master criminal of cultural appropriation herself with the last name Goldberg. So I would like to take that back with my last name being Wexler.
What's her real name again? It's Karen Walker, if I'm not mistaken. Is it Karen Walker? It's Karen something. I think it's Karen Walker.
It's
she became Whoopi Goldberg.
Goldberg.
It's not
By
Goldberg.
The, it's definitely not Goldberg. I will say
Sorry,
there are
many. Sorry, it's Karen Johnson, not Karen Walker.
Johnson. There we go. I will say for the audience, though, there are plenty of black Jews. Just Whoopi Goldberg's not one of them. And she decided to take on a Jewish last name for herself. But yeah, no, it's really astounding. And you know, this goes into the whole narrative of what the left is playing out of, you know, black people have to think a certain way. They have to vote a certain way. They have to be fearful. And it's not only Whoopi Goldberg saying this, right? Like there are plenty of just white, woke social justice warriors mm-hmm. deciding that this is a moment to fearmonger and tell people this. And I had the great displeasure last night of watching the movie Civil War, which is coming out today.
Yeah,
and that movie, I mean, what Whoopi Goldberg is playing into is exactly what that movie's playing into, which is just all the things that are supposed to happen if a conservative is in the White House, right? So it's black people being in chains again. It's total destitution and destruction. It's like total lack of a rule of law or like just, you know, dictatorship taking over if, you know, Orange Man Bad is back in the White House. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know who's dumb enough to actually believe that this is true. And in fact, someone like Whoopi Goldberg would probably be fine if they took every single conservative in the country and made us slaves. I think they would be fine with that. So it's definitely a double standard with her. I honestly, The View is, I have no idea how they're still around. And I get infinitely dumber every time I hear a clip from them.
I know. It's the great challenge as a host on the internet. What do I do with The View? Do I keep bludgeoning people with these clips of these brainlets? Or do we just let it go? And it's a debate we have here constantly. I'm not exactly sure. But you mentioned a certain Orange Man. He's back in business, baby. And he went to Chick-fil-A. And I forget, is Chick-fil-A racist or are they homophobic or something? But here he is just having a good time. This is a bit of a throwaway. I just kind of enjoyed it. Take a look.
Look at the way you hold. You like each other, right? I think that's very nice. Have a good time. Nice to see you. Thank you very much. So we'll order 30 milkshakes. We'll give them out to the people and we'll take some for ourselves, okay? Good. Thank you very much, everybody. Hello.
This has got a great American franchise, Chick-fil-A.
It is. It's a great franchise. The owner is a great man who's a member of one of my clubs and he's fantastic. And yeah, they do very well. They're closed on Sunday.
The Lord's chicken.
That's the Lord's chicken. You're right. It's good chicken, too.
Yeah, good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Yeah, can my friend Don get in one, too? Yes. Listen, she's fundraising.
Come on in. Come on in. Come on in.
Yes.
We're going to get rid of Biden.
Yeah. Bye, Biden.
Bye-bye, sleepy. He is the worst president in the history of the United States, and he's horrible to the black community. Like it or not.
been that way since a senator.
Community fan, and check out his record in the 1990s. Check out his record in the
1990s. You're economically what's for us.
Look, it's just standard Trump stuff. First off, was his tie particularly long, like almost to his knees in that one? Someone's got to talk to him about the tie. But just like walking in there, he can immediately connect with these people. As far as I could tell, he didn't want to turn any of them into slaves. I mean, he was taking selfies with them, for God's sakes. It's like he had lowest all-time black unemployment at that State of the Union speech, and the Congressional Black Caucus, I say this all, they sat there like this when he said that. I'm starting to think that orange man may not be racist. What do you think?
No, I mean, Trump is so good. I don't know how you watch a clip like that and you just can't stop yourself from smiling and laughing. He's just so, it's so funny and he's so natural. And I remember being a kid in New York and Trump was in rap songs. People loved him, right? Like, he's generally been loved by the black community, also by the gay community, right? Like, this is a part of who he is. He is really a man of the people, and Joe Biden is not. Trump is way more in touch with the average person. And you know, the Democrats today are the same as Democrats of the past. They only like black people if they do exactly as they're told. And so Donald Trump, conservatives are saying, listen, we know that people don't need someone with a PhD to tell them inflation isn't as bad as you think it is, right? People understand their wallets. They understand their purchasing power now. They understand how different life is now than it was under President Trump. And they want him back. And they want a normal person who talks to them with respect and integrity and treats them like they know what's going on. And you and I both know, being on being in social media, seeing the comments we get in our videos, people are not as dumb as they're treated by this White House. People know what's going on. They're not stupid. And they're tired of being spoken to like they are. And so that plays definitely into the black vote, the Hispanic vote, right? People love Trump. It's exciting to see. And also, I do love Chick-fil-A. It is God's chicken. So I'll just throw that out there.
I love how the guy's like, it's God's chicken. And he's like, yes, yes, it's God's chicken. Like, he just has that. He's just present enough. It's all sort of ridiculous, but also true and silly. And that's the whole freaking thing. But here is a black woman who is, the consequence, I would say, of diversity hiring. She's the vice president, and she's freaking out because the orange man might come back.
Right now, Donald Trump is telling us that he wants to be a dictator. Mm-hmm. And if we've learned one thing about this man, believe him.
Yeah.
Believe how crazy he is, because he telegraphs it.
That's exactly
right. He tells you. There's no hoodwinking.
Exactly right.
He tells you over and over again, and on Truth Social at 3 a.m. and cap locks, and then the next morning on Newsmax.
There is no dog whistle. It is like a gigantic bark.
I don't think it's hyperbolic to say this genuinely could be the last Democratic election we ever have.
You're right.
Listen to what he says. He's telling you dictators aren't a dictator for one day, and then it's let the people decide.
Aaron, help me out here again. I'm a simple man. Would it be worse to just like say kind of over the top things about how you want to retain power? Or would it be worse to use all of the levers of power to make sure that other candidates couldn't get on the ballot and were hung up in court on ridiculous cases that had nothing to do with nothing, where there were no victims, maybe be hung up in court because you somebody claimed to have been raped by you, but you actually didn't get indicted on rape, but on defamation, which I think if someone calls you a rapist and you're not a rapist, you should be able to sue them. I think you see where I'm going with this.
I do. I actually just think, though, you're missing the biggest point in this video, which is Kamala Harris. It actually wasn't quite the word salad we usually get from her. And I tend to get my daily vegetable dose from listening to a Kamala Harris clip. So that was pretty impressive. She didn't talk about Venn diagrams or school buses. But to your point on what they're saying in that clip, it's pretty amazing. And again, it actually reminds me of that movie I saw, Civil War, last night. And I keep saying this, do not see it. Do not give them your money. It's just exactly what you'd expect from Hollywood. And I can't believe I had to sit through that.
Why did you see it then? A cultural critic like yourself.
Speak to it, since I was called out by our friend Buck Sexton for not seeing the Barbie movie in order to opine on it. So I thought I would do research on what is it. And also the movie was actually under 2 hours. So I thought, if it's so painful, I'll get out. I talked the whole time. I talked the entire movie because I couldn't handle it. But what they're doing in that movie is also what Kamala Harris and the left, they always do, right? They always project actually exactly what they're doing onto the right. So it's always about, and they do this in the movie as well. It's saying he's going to, you know, abuse his powers. He's going to abuse the different systems that we have, abuse the courts. This is exactly what the left is doing. And so it's like, you know, I really just don't know what to say, except the fear mongering is just so far gone. And I think people understand and they see what's happening. And I know we're going to end up talking about what's happening in Brazil. And I think that's a really prime example of exactly how the left is just absolutely abusing all the different systems. And, you know, we can only hope that Donald Trump becomes president again and disbands all these different systems that we're talking about that they are abusing themselves. The left, they like to go through stages of this isn't happening. And then it's this is happening, but here's why it's actually a good thing. And so that's exactly what they're talking about on that show.
Right. So, well, actually, since you brought up Brazil and since you mentioned abuse of courts, we got a good segue because there is some crazy stuff coming out of Brazil. It involves X or Twitter. We got a tweet here from Colin Rugg. Brazil is moving to regulate X after Elon Musk refused to comply with their anti-free speech demands. Brazil Attorney General Jorge Macias is lashing out after Musk refused to bend the knee. We cannot live in a society in which billionaires domiciled abroad have control of social networks and put themselves in a position to violate the rule of law, failing to comply with court orders and threatening our authorities. It's urgent to regulate social networks. And then Colin adds, old Twitter would have bent the knee. So Twitter under Elon is basically just allowing the same free speech that they're allowing here in the United States in Brazil. And the new leader of Brazil, this socialist Lulu, is not happy about it. Here's Elon responding to what's going on.
I think the people of Brazil ought to know that there is an abuse of judicial power to an extreme degree that we've not seen in any country on earth. I have never seen anything of this magnitude. It's insane. And the elected representatives of the people of Brazil, that's who should be in charge. And the judiciary is there to execute upon the law, but not to make the law. But they are making the law. And I think it's an outrage. People should be extremely upset. This has got to stop. They have threatened to cut off X entirely from Brazil. They've also threatened to arrest our employees, and they have applied a $20,000 a day fine. So this is just what the threats that have been made. I don't know if these threats will come to pass or not. But judging by what has happened to others, I think these threats are real. I don't know. I think this is like really judicial authority going far beyond judicial authority to executive authority. So I just think it's just totally absolutely improper. I mean, the law is violating the law. It's crazy.
All right, so I just want to add in one other tweet that Elon sent out. The severity of censorship and the degree to which Brazil's own laws are being broken to the detriment of their own people is the worst any country in the world in which this platform operates. Aaron, the reason I think this story is important, I mean, it's important because we should stop censorship wherever it is, but it seems fairly obvious to me what's happening in Brazil is the test run for if Biden remains president, that they will try here with Elon and X, and it will be much easier for them to do with the other social networks, which will be much more inclined to just do whatever the state wants them to do. Am I crazy?
I actually think that's not even as bad as what's happening. I think it's not only a test run. I think this is our government. I think this is the Biden administration going after Elon through a proxy. And so we know the left doesn't even try to hide this. There are articles online talking about how, you know, the CIA helped prevent a coup from Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro, for people who might not be familiar, is like the tropical Trump, right? This is a guy. The story of Brazil is it's very close to what we're dealing with here. Luckily for us, our courts, our Supreme Court, I should say, not our courts, because obviously our courts are actually packed with George Soros appointed DAs, and that's a really big problem. And my goal in life is to make so much money to be the antithesis Soros and to stick DAs anywhere that I can to undo all his harm.
Got to monetize some of your videos if you want Soros cash. We better.
Well, thank God after this week, I'm a step closer to that. But, you know, but at least we do have a Supreme Court. What's happening in Brazil is their court is it just like Elon said, you know, our Supreme Court receives and then rules on laws that they, you know, on cases that they receive. What Brazil can actually just go after people. The Brazil court, they actually say, go and arrest this person. They've actually made calls to just proactively go after people, which is not something that people in the U.S. are as familiar with, although we're seeing that with in a number of cases, including the woman who has had Ashley Biden's journal, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, so in Brazil, the court is being used sort of as a mix between judicial and executive, and not just executive, like authoritative, dictatorial, kind of like really crazy power grabbing. And we know that the CIA stopped Bolsonaro or prevented a coup. Really just, you know, what's happening over there is similar to what's happening here with just total election rigging and election fraud. So, and they made it that Bolsonaro couldn't run. And Lula is basically a CIA appointed Biden front in Brazil, acting out exactly as the Biden administration wants. And so they're going, they can't go after Elon here in the same way just yet. And so they're trying to go after him in Brazil. And not only that, but the State Department's role in places abroad is to prevent those other countries from interfering with American companies. So it's not only that the State Department is not stepping in when this is happening to Twitter, X, a, you know, an American company, but they're actually very likely encouraging it and facilitating it behind the scenes. So people should really, really be paying attention to this.
By the way, I should note, everyone knows I'm part owner of Rumble, obviously. The Brazilian courts went after Rumble and demanded that we take down a whole bunch of content, and we refused, and we're no longer online in Brazil anymore. That's our protest. Elon's obviously protesting in his own way. But I, you know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, Elon bought this thing for, I think it was $46
billion.
44. It was 44. Yeah. It was way overvalued, meaning it way more than the shares were worth. So everyone that owned shares got a premium on that. He's put himself right in the middle of the fight. All of these people that used to love him for being Mr. Green Energy and Tesla and everything else now seem to hate him. The machine's constantly going after him. They're going after his businesses and incorporations in Delaware and all of those things. He's had to move Tesla out of Cali, which is now in Austin. It was making me think, do you think he realized like how insane this all was going to be? Because I think he sort of bought Twitter like for fun in a weird way at first, and then it very quickly became something much, much more important.
You know, I think it'd be impossible to ever try to be inside Elon Musk's head. But if I were to try, I think that he deeply cares about free speech. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see this in the fact that I like love this. I don't want to say Genghis Khan because it's not violent and like non-consensual in that way. But like the man wants to populate the earth with all his children. Like I really support it. Like I love how many kids he has. You know, it's like not traditional. It's not my style. But, you know, I love that he's trying to repopulate the earth. He loves civilization. He's really against the nihilists on the left that we're dealing with today. And so I think that he saw it was kind of like a joke. He's like a meme lord guy. And, you know, I thought it was definitely partly funny. But I think he also understood that this was also very, very necessary. What's pretty interesting also that a lot of people might not know about is this summer, we're supposed to get a number of really important rulings from the Supreme Court on First Amendment issues, especially around people's lawsuits against Twitter from pre-Elon days. And the poor guy, he just can never catch a break. But, you know, it's suing Twitter today, which is what Elon has. And we know that Elon's very pro First Amendment, but he's the one who has to deal with the consequences of this. But I think that's exactly why he took it over to correct this. I'm seeing, you know, we see that people are being brought back to Twitter when they had been perma-banned in the past, whether it was about the vaccine or the election or anything that you could have said, whether it was your Jordan Peterson tweeting about, you know, Ellen Page. I refuse to say Elliot Page. But, you know, so we're going to get a lot of really interesting court cases also this summer, specifically related to free speech around Twitter. And that's going to set really important precedent. But, you know, I think Elon did not realize how bad things would be. And I think Elon, like many other people who are moderates, maybe libertarians, weren't necessarily leaning to the right. You know, we saw he's been all over the place politically, and I think they get pretty radicalized and hardened, radicalized to the positive, though, like a really good, just, you know, more passionate about what's happening on the left. And I actually think I just came back from New York City for yet another trip to the belly of the beast.
Sweet Jesus, are you
and
all right?
I know. Thank you. Thoughts and prayers. They worked. I made it back. I wasn't stabbed or shoved in front of a subway. But I will say I was with a lot of friends there, and I have all these friends who are lifelong Democrats who are saying, I can't vote for Joe Biden right now. Like, yeah. I don't understand this party. These are normal liberals.
But are they willing to vote for Trump, right? Like, that's the thing. A lot of them are breaking, but will they make the move?
I think a lot of them might go RFK, like the way a lot of people do. But I think some of them might actually go for Trump. And my heart's been broken too many times as a conservative woman to actually think that Trump could win a state like New York. But it's starting to feel like people are really seeing how crazy this is. And especially if you're a normal person and you're not like a transgender midget getting like the world's first abortion in Sahara or something, like they go after you and you're not a protected class anymore. Like if you're just a white gay man, you're no longer special, right? Even if you're black, you're not special necessarily, especially if you're conservative, we don't follow the narrative. So I think people are really tired of getting their heads banged in, and Elon, thank God for Elon Musk, really.
Just to be clear, if we were looking at the hierarchy here of the Oppression Olympics, you're saying trans gay midget would be here, regular gay guy here?
Trans gay midget, but they probably would be like gender fluid furry, right? Where you'd have to provide a lot
trans
of accoutrements for them
gay,
to have
gender.
A good day. Yeah.
Do you save money on the costume because it's smaller?
I think they have to be specially made, so it's probably more expensive, actually. Yeah.
True. It's a special order. That's a good point. I don't know exactly how to segue from that to OJ. Can you help me get there somehow? Something. OJ was an athlete, and in sports, they often have the mascots who are furries. I think that's where the furry thing
came.
We're kind of getting there.
Yeah,
look, the point is, guys, O.J. Simpson's dead. He died. He's dead. Everyone knows he died yesterday, 76, of cancer. I didn't know he had cancer. I think a lot of people, this was kind of surprising. We've got a tweet from his Twitter account. This is from one of the children. On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace, the Simpson family. Oh, time of transition. So that sort of made the segue work, right? Something.
It could have worked, yes, yeah.
So we got a couple of clips I want to show you here, because I really do think that so much of the craziness as it pertains to race and cable news and polarization, so much of it was birthed during the O.J. Simpson trial. I was a freshman in college for most of it, and you could see how it was all bubbling up to lead us to the crazy place we're at right now. So first I want to show you a clip of this famous interview with O.J. This is absolutely wild. Take a look at this.
If you promise that you will not ask me another question about the case,
I will never ask you again.
We won't have to talk about it anymore.
Just did you do it?
No, I didn't. Nope. Did not do it.
After we finished filming, OJ said to me that he had a surprise for me, and I genuinely was surprised. I think it was his idea of a joke. And this is it.
I think he did it. I think he might have did it.
I mean, this is the man who had a book that basically was like, I didn't do it, but if I did it, this is exactly how I would have done it, right? That's OJ. And I think that when they named him Orenthal James and nicknamed him OJ, it was, they were predicting the fact that he'd be beating women to a pulp, right? So that's probably where the name came from. I actually just thought of that. That was a missed opportunity on Twitter yesterday.
You got it, pulp OJ? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, thank you. In case anyone is not familiar with pulp orange juice, thank you, to really drive it home. This is so crazy. I mean, the fact that the White House, I don't know if you saw this, but Karine Jean-Pierre, in one of her better moments, because she wasn't tongue-tied, she actually was able to give a response. It was just a horrible one when someone in the press pit asked her, what is Joe Biden, what is the president, what does the White House have to say about OJ's death? It was, we respect his family's wishes during this time. No, I hope that guy rots in hell. He got off easy. He had a long life. Mm-hmm. He went to prison for stealing memorabilia in Vegas, and thank God the judge decided to give him a pretty harsh sentence that was possibly not related to the theft from that crime. But this is a man who killed not just the mother of his children, but also Ron Goldman, who was there returning glasses to Nicole. And the world just let him get away with it, just like they let some people, content creators who steal other people's stuff. People let people get away with all kinds of crimes. We could go into for sure how people have responded to this, including many people saying, well, it's justice for black people
right.
that
so
OJ
we'll,
got off, right?
We'll get to that in one second. Interesting little side note. I once saw Kato Kaelin, who lived in OJ's, or he lived in, I guess it was her. It was, right? It was her guest house, right? That's how he was there, Kato. He was the actor, like the pothead actor.
Yeah.
I once saw Kato Kaelin on the Harry Potter ride at Universal Studios in Burbank. So that's a little, you know, people can do with that what they want. But you talk about the reaction, and we saw this morning. This is absolutely wild. It's going viral right now. This is Oprah on her show. They showed the reaction live, and they're going to show you the audience reaction to this in 1995. This is incredible. Take a look.
In case number BA097211, we, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. Superior Court of the State of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, we, the jury, in the...
I'm telling you, when I say that that moment and that trial the year before that was like one of the things that led us to this crazy racial polarized cable news thing that we are in right now, I think that's an obvious example of it right there. I mean, there was no sane person back then that thought he didn't do it. Everyone knew he did it. The prosecution, by the way, was sloppy, and there was that whole thing with Mark Furman, and there was a whole bunch of other stupid things that happened, but nobody debated. But the fact that those women were up there jumping up and down, cheering, knowing in their heart that he did it, there is a through line to where we're at today, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I do like the memes going around saying OJ's in heaven asking God, like, who was the real killer, you know? It's everyone knew that it was OJ, and he really didn't make it much of a secret, right? So he just never said the words, I did it. He would say, I didn't do it, and give that little cheeky smile. Yeah. I don't know what's worse. Would it be better if we thought that people really believed he didn't do it? Because I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's that people think OJ was innocent.
Right.
It's that people know that he did it, that he slaughtered two people. And by the way, there was actually a tweet from a woman, Nicole, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Minet, it might be French, but she actually came out on Twitter yesterday also talking about how she was forced to sign, not forced, but she was young and told to sign an NDA where she witnessed Robert Kardashian and Bob Shapiro going into the USC athlete's office to get people to actually pay people off to not report on the fact that he actually was beating beating other women to a pulp, many times. And he had a history of this, and people had to sign NDAs that they wouldn't talk about this in court as well. And this is a man who got away with things, and everybody knows this, and they still were happy that he was acquitted. And the idea was that, and I've spoken with friends about this, and they said, well, it's good, you know, liberal friends, they say it was good because it was justice for the black community. And that's not justice. And this is not how conservatives think. This is not how black conservatives think.
Mm-hmm.
Justice is when the law works. It's when rich white people go to jail for doing something wrong and rich black people go to jail for doing something wrong, right? And so this is definitely not justice. And it lacks intellectual honesty and integrity to say that this is what justice is.
Right. So to be clear, the argument perhaps that some of those women who were cheering there would be making is, oh, white people, it's not that they thought he was innocent, as you pointed out. It would be something like, oh, well, some rich white people get away with murder, so we're getting one now too. But that is such a freaking dangerous, slippery slope. But you sort of referenced some of the reaction to some of this. So I want to show you the CNN contributor talking about how the black community felt connected to OJ. And it gets a little haywire here. Watch this.
But it was so racially charged because of what had happened just before with Rodney King, but also just how Black Americans feel about policing. It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You know, he wasn't a social justice leader, but he represented something for the Black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed, and the history around how Black people have been persecuted during slavery. There were just so many layers. And I guess I would just close with this, is that There was racial tension then. There is racial tension now. It might not be the backdrop of the Trump campaign, but until this country is ready to actually have an honest conversation about the racial dynamics from our origin story till today, we will always have moments like O.J. Simpson that manifest, and our country will always be divided if we don't actually deal with the issue of race.
Wow. So she basically said a certain set of people were kind of digging it, that it was two white people that were killed. And these are the people that have dragged racism out of the dredges of the ocean to now be mainstream the entire time. It does make you feel better, though, that it was a couple white people, right? Because if he had killed black people, I mean, that's what happens in Chicago and nobody cares. We'd never have heard of this thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if your audience could see us. I think they only saw the clip. My jaw dropped when she said that line. It's so psychotic. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to tell the left, if you wouldn't say that sentence and switch the races, then maybe you shouldn't be saying it. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's whether it's, you know, gender, race, sexuality, whatever it is. It's like, you can't say that. I don't know how we've gotten to a point as a country. I guess, like, this is why we don't deserve nice things. This is why we can't have nice things, because people go on TV and say things like, oh, yeah, well, it's fine, because especially since he killed two white people. What about that? Right. Like the excitement in her voice. It's like it just reminds me of the university professor saying, oh, October 7th was exhilarating for me. It's like, that's the level that we're at, where they're taking pleasure in innocent people being killed just because of their skin color or their religion. And there's almost no salvation for a party that believes things like what that woman just said.
Right, because there's no unifying principle there, because in some ways she's basically saying, oh, back then when it happened, it was kind of okay for a certain set of people because he was black, the perpetrator was black, and the victims were white. And it's like, now these are the same people that, if the perpetrator is black and the victims are black, don't care. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, like, they've created something that just promotes racism. It doesn't promote any actual philosophy that is somewhat consistent or something that we could work with as Americans.
Yeah. And there's also no expectation for improvement or change, right? So if you're saying that it's actually that a black person should be killing white people instead of just, maybe we reduce crime in our country and maybe we have better family values and maybe we make sure that dads stay at home, maybe this wouldn't happen as much and we could all live in harmony. And instead, it's an excuse, right? It's the same reason we have DEI. It's that, you know, it's no one's fault. It's why we have criminals being released on the streets of New York City, where, you know, we had a police officer killed just 2 weeks ago in New York. And that's unfortunately one of many stories that are similar, where he's killed by someone who was let out for the 21st time. And instead of looking at that person and saying, there's a serious issue, let's get to the root of it, it's, well, he's black, so that's actually, it'd be racist for us to put him in jail. And that's what this woman is saying in that clip.
I'm trying to think of, like, what the reverse version of this would be. So if Larry Bird, the whitest basketball player ever from South Bend, Indiana, or wherever he was from, Indiana somewhere, if Larry Bird killed two black people and everyone knew it, would white people be like, Larry Bird, we want you set free, any more than they would want Michael Jordan set free for the murder if everyone knew that they... It's just...
Exactly. No, it'd be a deep shame, right? Also, not... By the way, white people don't even feel like a unified... Like, there's no, like, white people group that exists. And you and I, by the way, aren't considered white. But, you know, white passing, as people would say. But as Jews, it depends on who you ask. For some people, we're too white, and for some people, we're not white enough, which is really a nice little horseshoe moment that we're getting in our political parties right now. But we would be absolutely horrified that would happen. And also, it depends, you know, if that scenario were playing out and it were a white basketball player, baseball player, I don't even know what sport you're referring to. I don't know about sports, forgive me.
But Larry Bird played basketball, OJ played football.
My brother is going to be really embarrassed that I said that. But yes, thanks. But if you had an athlete of some sort who were white doing this, there would be riots in the streets if he were acquitted. And with OJ, the fear was that there would be riots in the streets if he were convicted, right? And that kind of tells you what you need to know.
Right, and I'm fairly certain if a Jewish football player killed some black people, I wouldn't want him to get off just because
exactly.
He was
we
a
wouldn't.
Jew.
We also, if we had a Jewish football player, that's, I mean, God.
I'm trying to think of somebody. Give me a name. Give me a name. What's his name? He was on the Patriots all those years. He was not the tight end. What's his name? Come on, the guy.
No. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I just saw him.
Not Gronkowski, although it kind of sounds Jewish.
No, maybe a little more.
Julian Edelman, thank you.
Okay,
wow,
thank
Phoenix
you.
Getting a sports reference. Holy cow.
Okay, found the one, thank God. But, you know, in general, no, it would be, we would want to make sure they had a harsh sentence, right?
Of course.
What we would want real justice and a real example made.
Of course. Now I want to show you, we're going to end the show by showing you the stupidest thing ever written on Twitter. We talked about Elon Musk before, and I actually tweeted at him that after seeing this tweet, he could shut the whole thing down. Like, it cannot get more ridiculous than this. Here you go. This is Mark Lamont Hill, who is a professor who used to be on Huffington Post TV. O.J. Simpson was an abusive liar who abandoned his community long before he killed two people in cold blood. His acquittal for murder was the correct and necessary result of a racist criminal legal system. But he's still a monster, not a martyr. You can see how this guy's a Hamas supporter, which he is, by the way. I mean, it's like this ideology leads to such broken brain morality that you would be happy that someone got away with murder in cold blood in the name of race.
Yeah, no, I mean, Dave, I think I've heard you say this, that people are so open-minded that their brains have fallen out,
yeah.
Right? And so that's exactly what's happening here. It's just a level of such stupidity that I really don't know what to say, except I think we have to burn it all down. We have to start over. We have to start from scratch, because I don't know how we undo something that's that rotten to the core. And I don't know what's worse, if someone like that is just playing mental gymnastics, and so he really doesn't believe what he's saying, and he's just trying to convince us as to why OJ was actually kind of okay and why it was good for Black people, or like he really, really believes this. And I don't know what's scarier. And it's the same, and it was everything on the left. It's always excusing something that doesn't make sense, whether it's saying that a man can become a woman or saying that OJ was actually good for Black people. I just don't know actually how we are able to reason with that, but I think we try.
Right. And also, if the system was as racist and corrupt as he suggests it is, then wouldn't OJ have been put in jail?
I know. That's a great point. Well, I mean, you know, America is the most racist country on earth, which is why we nominated and elected our first Black president for two terms, right? But according to Michelle Obama, she still really wasn't proud of her country until that moment. But yeah, no, we're super racist, which is why we had Barack Obama as our president for 8 long years, and why we continue to have, you know, Black celebrities, Black athletes. Yeah, no, but America is, of course, the most racist place on earth.
Aaron, I've enjoyed today's program. I'm going to, through ways that I can't fully explain to you, take monetization credit for all of your channels going forward now that you've been on this show twice. So good luck with all that.
Thank you so much. I hope you do.
What are you doing in the free state of Florida this weekend?
What am I doing? I'm actually going to a rodeo tomorrow night. I'm pretty excited about it. And you know what? It is my first rodeo. So that's what I'll be doing.
You are a true conservative. We will put links to all your stuff down below. Aaron, thank you. We got a post-game show coming up in 30 seconds at RubinReport.locals.com. Part 2 of my interview with RFK Jr. is up on YouTube and Rumble. Full things over on Locals already. Absolutely ad-free. We leave you with the great Norm MacDonald.
On Friday, the Juice officially endorsed Bill Clinton for president, adding, quote, "I'd like to help him any way I can," to which the president replied, "Well, there is one thing."
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Be sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. And don't forget, you can watch my direct messages live on Blaze TV and YouTube every weekday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And of course, if you want to connect with me personally and get early access to my sit-down interviews, join RubinReport.locals.com.